This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Ari Shapiro in Washington. Neil Conan is off for the holiday. Santa Claus isn't the only person working on Christmas. Just ask anyone manning the control room here in Studio 3A. Here's an email from Monica, who's writing from the Farallon Islands off the coast of San Francisco. She's a wildlife biologist working this Christmas, and she writes, "In mid-December, female elephant seals return from the deep ocean to their breeding beaches along the coast of California to give birth and nurse their pups. Our job is to count all the individual male and female seals on the island and monitor the birth of pups every day. Since the elephant seals don't recognize our Christmas, we still have to monitor the seals every single day, including Saturdays, Sundays, Christmas Eve, Christmas, New Year, and every other holiday this winter. But we love our jobs, so I've never heard a single complaint." Later in the program, we'll take a look at Jews and Chinese food on Christmas. But first, are you working today? Love it or hate it, we want you to join the conversation. Our number here in Washington is 1-800-989-8255. Our email address is talk@npr.org. You can also comment on our blog at npr.org/blogofthenation. Joining us now is Leanne Holfelder. She's a historic interpreter at Colonial Williamsburg, and she joins us from her office in Williamsburg, Virginia. Hi, Leanne. Welcome to the program.
Hi. How are you?
Fine, thanks.
Happy Christmas to you.
And to you.
As century people say it.
So for those who aren't familiar with Colonial Williamsburg, what exactly is it that you do?
In Colonial Williamsburg, what I am is what they call an actor-interpreter. I portray different people from the 18th century to give you an idea of what life was like back then. I portray people like Martha Washington, Jane Vobe, who manages the tavern in the 18th century, as well as the Irish midwife in town.
So who are you playing on Christmas today?
Actually, today I'm playing a different character I played a couple years ago when I did a courtship program in town. I'm actually playing Polly Drinkard, who marries William Drinkard, who manages a tavern in town. And it's really kind of an interesting story because I'm playing it today with my fiancé, who is soon to be my husband in February.
Oh, congratulations.
We met during the courtship program we used to do here in Colonial Williamsburg.
That's great. So how was Christmas celebrated in Colonial Williamsburg?
Christmas was a religious day. Basically, everyone went to church, and then after church services were over, you got together with families. It really got more celebrated as the season continues on to Twelfth Night, which is in January. And basically, it would be fox hunting, balls, great feasts, and Twelfth Night was really the Twelfth Night grand party. Matter of fact, when I play Martha Washington, Twelfth Night is really nice because that's the day her and George got married.
But
you have a lot of weddings in the Christmastide season because the fields are down and people can gather together for those great celebrations.
Oh, interesting. No actual fox hunting in Colonial Williamsburg today, I take it.
No, no fox hunting today.
So do you get a lot of visitors on Christmas?
We do, actually. We get a various range of visitors. Families that come down here and make this kind of an annual trek because we do decorate all the houses at Christmas time with various greeneries, wreaths done of natural things like shells, fruits, and such. So people come down here to look at the Christmastide decorations, have meals in one of our taverns, as well as come to see some of the historic buildings and get back to their history and see how life was celebrated in the 18th century.
Does the workday for you feel very different from every other workday at Williamsburg?
It's a little bit different. We don't have to work as many hours today. The museum's not open a full day. We do Revolutionary City, where we talk politics a lot and such like this. And today we just basically talk about Christmastide parties and enjoy our singing and such like that. So it's a little looser day for us.
No politics on Christmas, huh?
No politics on Christmas.
All right. Well, Leanne, thanks a lot for your time. Have a wonderful Christmas.
And you have a very happy Christmas yourself.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Leanne Holfelder is a historic interpreter of Colonial Williamsburg. She joined us from her office in Williamsburg, Virginia. And we have an email here from Robin in Ann Arbor. She writes, "I'm a professional pet sitter, and as someone who used to travel a lot, I know how important it is to feel like you're leaving your pets and your home in good hands." She writes, "I'm happily having a very busy holiday week caring for other people's dogs, cats, and guinea pigs." Well, our next guest is Sergeant Cale Murray. He is working Christmas Day at Missile Command Center at Schriever Air Force Base in Colorado Springs, Colorado. He is a future operations officer. And Sergeant Murray, what exactly does that mean?
Well, good afternoon, Merry Christmas.
Good afternoon, Merry Christmas to you, too.
Thank you. Well, what we do is my job, I'm on the missile defense crew, obviously. We operate the ballistic missile defense shield that was fielded a few years ago. What I do is I'm an analyst, and I basically look out there at the real-world intelligence situations going on in the world, and we make battle assessments and so forth, and just try to figure out what's going on out there and things that we need to be aware of to help protect the nation.
So I guess everybody listening would hope that you have a very quiet Christmas.
Oh, yes, absolutely. And just so everyone knows, it's been a very quiet Christmas so far today.
Have you ever experienced any close calls?
No. No, we do lots of training, obviously. Nearly every day we're at work, we do some sort of training. But no, nothing like that. The system is in place to protect against a rogue launch or, you know, possibly an inadvertent launch from anywhere around the world. But nothing that I've ever seen has come close to being a crisis situation.
What happens if you do see something on the radar?
Well, if we do see something, then we have a series of steps in place, obviously, all the way up to the commander-in-chief, things that would have to be evaluated. One of my jobs as an analyst is to figure out, is this serious or is it not, and then pass out on that information on up the chain of command, and someone, you know, up the way would make a decision on how to deal with that.
You know, I have to ask, do you have any specialized technology that lets you distinguish between a missile and, say, Santa Claus?
Well, actually, yes. You may be very well familiar with the NORAD Track Santa program that they do every year. In fact, I spoke with my commander this morning. He was working there last night, taking phone calls from kids around the world. And we can definitely tell the difference between a missile and Santa Claus.
That's a big relief. Well, do you have any special traditions at the office for Christmas time?
Well, what we normally do is we try to let as many people off work as possible. We get visits from our commanders and phone calls and so forth, and we usually bring in some kind of holiday bread or, you know, snacks, and just try to be cheery and have a great Christmas.
And does this mean that you don't get to celebrate with your family?
Well, actually, we do. In my case, my family, we opened most of our presents last night, and then my children elected to get up with me at 3:45 this morning and see what Santa Claus had brought. And so we actually had a very early Christmas, and I came on into work, and I'm sure they went right back to bed.
That sounds great. All right. Well, Sergeant Murray, thanks a lot for joining us.
Thank you so much, and have a great day.
You too.
Right.
Sergeant Cale Murray is a future operations officer for Missile Defense, and he joined us from his office at Schriever Air Force Base in Colorado Springs. Let's go to a caller. This is Christine in Shorewood. Hi, Christine.
Hello. Good afternoon. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you, too. So
Thank you.
Working today?
Well, I'm not really working. I'm the mayor of a small town, actually a suburb just west of Minneapolis, about 20 minutes. And I was listening to your show today, and I was thinking about all the people that work behind the scenes. And even for the cities, there's people at work. It is snowing out here today, and I just noticed how nice the roads are because the public works crew has been out and about on Christmas Day clearing the roads so we can get to and fro safely, and people can enjoy a beautiful winter day.
Anybody else in particular that stands out in your mind in your town who's sort of the unsung hero of Christmas, letting people do what they would otherwise do this day?
Yeah, I know that, you know, we also have police and fire, and driving past the department buildings, I see cars out there and trucks, and, you know, there's always emergency responders who are ready to drop anything and go to where they're needed, and it's pretty sleepy and quiet out here today. It's kind of a heat wave of 28 degrees, so I think more people will be out and about. But I know that, you know, cities keep running because there are good staff people and people who want to make it easy for the rest of us.
All right, Christine, thanks a lot for your call.
Hey, thank you. Have a great day.
You too.
Bye.
Bye. This is an email we just received from Celeste in Sacramento. It says, I'm a physician working with children in foster care or who are newly removed from their families due to abuse. I'm also a generic child and adult psychiatrist. And she says, unfortunately, there's never a lack of this work on holidays, as well as on every other day and night of the year. I'm Jewish, so I always volunteer to be on call on Christmas, she writes. It's helpful to my colleagues and extra meaningful to the kids. And as a bonus, it's a great time to catch up on the backlog of paperwork. Well, here's another caller. This is Greg in Bend, Oregon. Greg, what are you doing this Christmas?
Well, I'm running printing presses.
Running printing presses? What, tell us more.
Well, basically, I have a little job that comes up. It's a directory at the end of each year, and there's a little window of opportunity between Christmas and New Year's to get it to the binders so that they can get it to people for the first of the year. And as is often the case, people basically procrastinate and don't get this stuff to you till the last minute. So it isn't like you have a much of a life of your own when it comes to deadlines.
So you're one of those people who does not prefer to work on Christmas.
Well, I don't really prefer to work on Christmas, but Christmas isn't like a large looming thing to me that it is for a lot of people, I suppose.
Anything special that you do to mark today despite your having to be in the office?
I try to work in a relaxed manner as much as possible.
All right. Well, good luck with that, Greg, and thanks a lot for your call.
You bet.
Okay. This is Keith in Jacksonville now. Keith, hi. Calling from a warm location, celebrating Christmas in Jacksonville, Florida. How are you spending the day?
I am actually painting a mural today.
Painting a mural?
Yes.
Outdoors?
Actually, in my barn.
In your barn? Tell me more.
Yeah, I have a studio set up in my barn, and I work out of the house, and I've got a deadline. I've got a mural that needs to be done by tomorrow, so
I don't suppose it's a Christmas-themed mural. What's the content?
It's actually, I paint murals for a national chain of sub shops, Firehouse Subs, so all of the murals are fire-themed in some way, and this is a forest fire with deer jumping around and a guy in a big truck trying to put it out and all that kind of stuff.
All right. Well, thanks for calling. Good luck. I hope you make your deadline and have a Merry Christmas.
Thank you very much.
Well, you may be relaxing at home with friends and family, but we're on the clock and we're talking shop. So if you're working on Christmas, give us a call at 1-800-989-8255, or you could also send us an email at talk@npr.org. I'm Ari Shapiro, and it's Talk of the Nation from NPR News. This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Ari Shapiro in Washington. It's Christmas Day, and you've probably already found the coffee shop in your neighborhood that's open today. We wanted to know who else is working this Christmas. We'd like to hear from you if you are. Take a break from the job and give us a call at 1-800-989-8255, or you can email us at talk@npr.org, or check out our blog at npr.org/blogofthenation. And joining us now is a voice that some of you may be familiar with.
From NPR News in Washington, I'm Paul Brown. Christians around the world are celebrating the birth of their Savior today inside St. Peter's Basilica.
Paul Brown works the morning shift for the newscast here at NPR this morning. He joins us from his home here in Washington, D.C. Paul, thanks for taking time out of your Christmas day to be on the show.
Hi, Ari. Fun to be here.
How many years have you been working on Christmas?
Gosh, you know, probably the most of the last 25 years at small market radio stations, at different jobs. You know, I worked 1 year at a ski resort in the snack bar on Christmas Day, and there were lots of people there. And then at NPR, I've worked most of my 8 years on Christmas Day and on New Year's Day, and also on Thanksgiving.
Are they shifts that you volunteer for, or is this something that you do sort of as a favor to other people?
Well, it sort of comes as part of my job. At the newscast unit, I'm what's called a floater, and my job is to do everything whenever it's needed. So that it is part of the job, but I suppose I could ask off if I wanted to. I really never do. I did for my 20th wedding anniversary at Thanksgiving last year. But that was the only time that I've really asked off. So I actually kind of enjoy this.
What do you enjoy about it specifically?
Well, let's see. There's a small crew of us that's kind of like a bunch of rats running around the barn at NPR super early in the morning. How else can I describe it?
I've been there. I can attest to that.
Yes, exactly. We're sort of loyal to the job. And another odd aspect of this, you know, public radio is very much a public service job, and you've got to be sort of into that aspect of it, I think, to do it. And I rather enjoy being there for people who tune in their radios or go onto the web and find NPR and wouldn't mind hearing a familiar voice on a holiday when they're off.
But, you know, there's not a whole lot of news on Christmas. How do you fill a 10-minute newscast every hour?
Well, you know, it's an interesting thing. Some years, you're right, there isn't a lot of news. today was an interesting day because we had quite a few stories. We had some really sad stories, of course, as we seem to these days. We had two significant bombings in Iraq that killed a lot of people. We had some pretty rough weather in the Midwest and out in California. But there were actually quite a number of stories to talk about most of the morning. And, of course, on Christmas Day, you have the Pope speaking and giving his blessings. There was an interesting story out of Bethlehem, I thought, this year, which was that tourists are starting to come back into old Bethlehem, and they've really been absent since the second Palestinian uprising in 2000. And with the peace process getting started again, all of a sudden, there were more people in old Bethlehem. And so for me, that was a story. It was interesting. It was a change in the news and maybe a positive change.
That's really nice.
So, we find the stories. We call reporters, and they're there.
Well, given that you've been working on Christmas every year for more or less the last 25 years, does your family have any particular traditions to work around that?
Well, we do. My family has all walked into this with me with eyes open. I was already in radio and journalism when I got married 21 years ago, so my wife, Terry, certainly had no illusions about what she was getting into. We celebrated the Christmas part of our holiday last night. My family is part Christian, part Jewish, part who knows what. We're true Americans, so we celebrate a little bit of everything. And we opened gifts last night, and then the deal was that I was going to go to work this morning. And then this afternoon, we're joining friends for Christmas dinner, and we are making the traditional old Virginia eggnog recipe from my family, and we're carrying that up to Christmas dinner. So, we're having a good holiday.
That sounds great. Well, we'll let you get to that Christmas dinner. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, thanks, Ari. Happy holidays.
Thank you. You too.
See you.
Paul Brown is a newscaster and reporter for NPR. He joined us from his home in Washington, D.C. Let's go to another caller. This is Ed in Gilbert, Minnesota. Hi, Ed.
Hi.
What are you doing this Christmas?
I'm driving an oil tanker up in northern Minnesota.
Could you describe the scene for us?
Well, right now I pull off the road in Gilbert, and it's a very small town. It's got one main street, and it's got, not real high snowbanks, about 3 or 4 feet high snowbanks along each side of the street. And it's pretty white up here. We've had three blizzards in the last week and a half, and I had to drive the trip from Superior, Wisconsin, across the bridge and up into the Babbitt to the mine, 125 miles, three times in blizzards in that time.
Wow. Well, I wonder, do you have a CB radio where you hear conversations from other drivers this Christmas?
I do have a CB, but it's been pretty quiet today. I haven't heard anybody.
Not a lot of people out on the roads, huh?
Not too many, huh?
Of course we want you to be safe. Is this something that you typically do, working on Christmas in the middle of blizzards, no less?
The mines up here in northern Minnesota, they work 24/7, 365 days a year. And they have big equipment, the big haul trucks that haul 250 tons per load, and they'll use 500 gallons of fuel oil a day. So we run a tanker up there almost every single day.
Wow. Well, thanks for taking time out of your trip to call us, and have a great Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
All right. This is another caller here. This is Alex. Alex in Kansas City, Kansas. Hi.
Hey, hello.
What are you doing this Christmas?
I'm driving towards Colorado.
Another trucker, huh?
Yep.
And have you heard any more CB chatter on the radio than our previous caller?
Nothing.
Nothing, huh?
I have seen one fuel truck at a gas station taking fuel, and otherwise the only other truck out here is me.
And I guess you're probably experiencing something a little more pleasant than the blizzards that our previous caller just reported.
Oh, yeah. Here, right now, it's beautiful. Everybody's talking about the weather, but it's nice and clear and sunny and blue skies and looks great.
All right. Glad to hear that. Thanks for giving us a call, and have a Merry Christmas.
You too, sir.
We have an email here from Steve in Fayetteville, North Carolina. He says, I'm a realtor and have a returning GI, returning from Iraq, and a family looking for a home. So naturally, I'm working to find them their castle. If the only time they have to search is Christmas, so be it. Well, our next guest is Dr. Laura Tsang. She is a veterinarian working emergency care this Christmas Day, and she's on the line from her office in Langhorne, Pennsylvania. Hi, Dr. Tsang. Thanks for being on the show.
Hi. Thanks very much.
Does Christmas get very busy at a veterinary ER?
It actually does. We have about four emergency doctors working right now and a staff of about, I would guess, about 25 or 30 people throughout the 24-hour period. Most of the practices in our area are closed, so we serve as an emergency service for them as well.
Are there particular kinds of incidents that are more common on Christmas than other days?
I think around the whole Christmas season there are. We've seen a number of dogs that have eaten large amounts of chocolate over the past few days. And chocolate is toxic to dogs, so they do come in with heart arrhythmias and sometimes even neurologic signs. Cats, you know, tend to get into Christmas tree ornaments, things like that.
Is there a different atmosphere among the workers on Christmas Day at your office?
I think it's a little bit more festive than the average day. And some of our receptionists are wearing Santa hats and antlers. and the staff is, some of them are dressed in red and green. And a lot of people bring in food. A lot of our clients bring in food as gifts as well. So it's fairly festive.
You know, I imagine it must be really difficult to deal with a pet being in a medical crisis any time of year, but especially when that happens on Christmas. How do you relate to the people who are bringing in their animals with these severe medical problems?
It is hard, I think, harder today than any other day. Or we also have hospitalized patients here as well. So people that have had their dogs here for a few days or cats here for a few days and know that they're going to be away from home for the holiday, you know, that's hard. I think it's one of those, we do have visiting hours, so I think that can sometimes help. People come up during the day or in the evenings to visit their pets in the hospital, but it is hard to have them away from home.
And I understand your husband also tends to work on Christmas, so how do you and he arrange that, your family celebration?
He works in a human ER as a pediatrician. Mm-hmm. So unfortunately this year, although we're both working Christmas, I'm working the day shift and he's working the night shift.
Ah.
So we'll pass in the doorway for about an hour or so, and then we'll see each other again tomorrow. So my family actually doesn't live in the area. They live in Massachusetts.
Uh-huh.
And we'll be going up there over New Year's for a few days. And we saw his family last night at a Christmas Eve dinner.
Great. Okay, well, thanks for taking the time to talk with us, and have a great Christmas.
No problem. Thanks. You too.
We've got an email here from Suzanne at an undisclosed restaurant. She says, I am working today, but don't feel too sorry for me. The restaurant I work for is charging $95 for dinner plus tax and gratuity, and we're booked solid. Happy holidays, Suzanne at an undisclosed restaurant. We also have an email from Andrew in Independence, Kentucky. He writes, I'm a police officer in Northern Kentucky. While working Christmas Day is not my first choice of activities, I was pleasantly surprised earlier today when a man approached my police car while I was parked in front of his house and invited me into his home to meet his family. They offered me a drink and food, and we carried on a great conversation. I enjoy any opportunity I have to meet and get to know the residents in the area I serve, but I'm especially grateful for the invitation earlier today. The Christmas spirit is certainly alive in Northern Kentucky. We're glad to hear it. Let's take another caller. This is Spencer in Cleveland, Ohio. Hi, Spencer.
Hi, how are you?
Fine. How are you spending this Christmas day?
Well, I started out fine. Well, I started last night, actually. I'm a carpenter, and I remodel homes and maintenance some properties for some friends. And got a call last night, was in my Christmas duds on my way to a Christmas party, and had a toilet leak.
Oh, dear.
So I went and fiddled with the toilet, thought I fixed it, got up this morning, had a nice morning, and had to go back. Something else broke. So I'm it's this perpetually broken toilet I've been working on.
Not exactly the way you had planned to spend your Christmas, huh?
Absolutely not.
Well,
I suppose I brightened someone else's.
I hope so. Thanks for your call. I suppose this will certainly be a memorable Christmas for you.
Absolutely. Merry Christmas.
And to you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Well, our next guest is Jeff Monroe. He is head athletic trainer for Michigan State University football. He joins us from his hotel room in Orlando, Florida. Jeff, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
So your final game of the season is in 2 days. Shouldn't you be at practice right now?
Well, the team just left on the bus, and I'm going to join them shortly.
Have you been working every Christmas? You've been head trainer there for a very long time, I take it.
Yeah, 22 years. This is our 13th bowl game that I've been to, and been away at Christmas every one of them.
And do you have any special traditions surrounding that fact that you may be in a different city Christmas every year?
Well, when the kids were growing up, we would have a little arrangement of ornaments, etc., in the room, and we would have some small presents that we would bring along that they would get to open and have fun with. And then when they came home or before we left, we would do a bigger Christmas.
So you got to take your kids with you every Christmas.
Yeah, that was a great part. Elizabeth and Missy are about 3 years apart, and they started when they were about 8. and 11, and they just knew every hotel layout. Every time we got in, if we needed anything, we asked where this was or where that was, and they knew it. And we went to the Rose Bowl with them and went to the Citrus Bowl and other major bowl games down the line, Gator Bowl, et cetera. They knew all the ins and outs of all the hotels and the resorts, and it was fun to have them run around and do our jobs.
Well, that sounds like a great Christmas tradition for the family. Do you have any special things that you do with the team on Christmas as opposed from any other days? Do you go a little easier on them for Christmas Day?
Yeah, that's a good question. We were scheduled for a pretty good practice today, and yesterday Coach in the meeting, Coach D'Antonio, in his first year, decided, well, maybe we should back them off a little bit today and let them have some fun. So last night we had a team official party dinner that everybody received a gift from the bowl committee, a nice watch, and today they had a big Christmas breakfast, and now we're having a picture today, and then they're going to do walkthroughs and do special teams and special situations for about an hour. So it's going to be a very light practice.
Well, we'll let you get back to your team's practice, but thanks a lot for taking time out of your Christmas day to talk with us.
Thank you, sir.
Jeff Monroe is head athletic trainer for Michigan State University football, and he joined us from his hotel room in Orlando. We've got an email here from Bear in Spokane, Washington. He writes, kudos to all the Zamboni drivers at the family ice rinks across the country. We're open before and after dinner, so people have something to do. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. Let's take another caller. This is Mama Elf in Miami, Florida.
That's right. I have the best job in the world.
What job is that?
Well, I am the personal assistant to the real Santa Claus.
Really?
Yes.
And what does your job entail today?
Well, my job today Santa Claus is really tired from last night. So he's at home kind of resting a little bit. Believe it or not, he came all the way from the North Pole to be in Miami, Florida for a month. And right now I'm going to a country club to do storytelling for the children and tell them all about Santa Claus. And then I'm going to go pick up Santa Claus and we're going to do some home visits.
Home visits to ill or elderly people?
No, we're going to children's homes, to private homes, and we're going to visit them and bring them some gifts and let them take pictures with Santa Claus and tell them little stories about the North Pole and the elves and everything that we do.
Well, I hate to sound skeptical, but, you know, there are a lot of imposters out there.
Yeah.
How do you know that yours is the real Santa Claus?
Well, he couldn't be in everywhere, so then he had to hire franchise himself and did some, they're called photo Santas.
Ah.
They just to take pictures. But the real Santa, they don't know anything about the North Pole. They don't know what really happens there. They can really talk to the children about the real thing because they're not the real thing.
Ah. Well, Mama Elf in Miami, Florida, we'll let you get back to work. Thanks a lot for your call.
And if you want to see the picture of the real Santa Claus, you can go to the realsantaclaus.biz.
All right. Thanks a lot.
Okay, bye.
Merry Christmas. This is Colleen in Norman, Oklahoma. Hi. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Tell us how you're spending the day.
Well, I'm working at a youth and adolescent psych ward covering visitations.
And what does that consist of over the course of the day?
Well, it's a secure facility, so we have certain hours that parents can come in and see their kids, and I let them in and sign them in, and, you know, I check them. And then I basically just watch to make sure that everything is going well.
Do you work most Christmas days?
I have so far.
You know, it must be really hard for parents to have to be unable to spend Christmas with their children at home. Is it an especially difficult day relative to other days that you work?
Well, actually, I mean, I'm sure it is very hard. And a lot of parents take their kids out just before this time. But we also get some new admitteds around this time. But most of the people who come to visit really do seem to make the best of it. There's very little, few tears compared to most days, most visits.
All right. Well, have a Merry Christmas, and I hope you'll pass the message along to everybody else at your workplace. Thanks for calling.
Thank you.
We have one final email here from Tom at Wisconsin Public Radio, who says, "Don't forget the obvious. You're working today, and so am I. I and one other engineer are sitting here in a control room, monitoring you, making sure that the Wisconsin Public Radio and Television networks are running smoothly. Well, from all of us here in Studio 3A, thank you to everyone out in the public broadcasting community who's working today. Coming up, it's the mystical connection between matzah and mushu, Chinese food and the Jews. I'm Ari Shapiro. It's Talk of the Nation from NPR News.